Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We do have the 5 and 5 coming up in 60 minutes, but you might not like what you got coming up in 20 minutes. You might not like what you hear in 20 minutes, but you're going to love what you hear now as we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We inch closer and closer to the first round of the college football playoffs. Maybe there'll be some buzz on the Heisman at some point, and Bill Belichick to Chapel Hill. We got a lot to talk with, as we do every single Thursday at 4 p.m. with Pete Futek at College Football News, who joins us now. What's up, buddy?
It feels weird. I mean, because you're right. It's like next week. Like, we're used to kind of the big giant bowl games aren't until, you know, end of December, where we get through the first wave of bowls. And then, you know, builds, and all of a sudden it's around New Year's Day, and then the playoff, or for people of a certain age, it doesn't kick in until New Year's Day. And, like, it's like now. We're going to have to start doing this. And we're going to need it, because these bowl games are going to be so awful.
So, you know, it's interesting. I've long thought that the way to save the bowl system is just to turn them all into playoff games and have, like a 36-team playoff field. Is that a hot take?
I don't know if it's good, because there's no answer for this. There's nothing you can do, because you can't say, hey, players, don't, you know, sit out of these really exhibition games, especially if you're an NFL guy. You know, I don't know what I'm still not quite believing it's going to happen, but I don't know what you're doing if you're Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter, and they're probably going to play in this thing, or some of these other guys who are claiming to play in it, when you have an NFL future there. You're gonna have, everyone's opting out. All these coaches are leaving. You can't tell the guys not to play, or they have to play in them. So there's really no answer for it. So it's just gonna be, there's gonna be a lot of guys wearing uniforms, and you're gonna assume that they're gonna be okay, and these teams just aren't gonna be great.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. I went to collegefootballnews.com today, and the headline was about the SEC football schedule and, like, weekly game rankings, first to worst. And I'm like, Pete, what do you possibly do with your week off before we then get just completely unloaded with all sorts of different bowl games? But if none of the bowl games essentially matter outside of Vegas lines, it's going to be really tough.
I could tell you this, and this is a little inside baseball stuff here, is that, honestly, I'm waiting till the last second. Because how do you do – I'm just getting started on all the game previews, because until we really know on a lot of transfer portal guys, I mean, some of them, like, you know, Western Michigan versus South Alabama, we kind of know what's going to – you know, nobody's really transferring there. That's going to matter too much. But, like, there's still so many, any team of the Power 5, their Power 4 conferences, yeah, it's hard to do because, you know, who knows whose coach is going to be there, whose offensive coordinator there. Like, even like a Jacksonville State goes from, you know, being okay to now Rich Rod is gone. Army is the one team that we know is going to have everyone intact with no one leaving. And they start off as a 7.5-point favorite against Marshall. And then Marshall coach leaves for Southern Miss. A bunch of guys transfer. And now it's up to, like, 15. So, like, yeah, it's buyer beware. Or if it's kind of like NFL preseason where if you can kind of figure out who's about to leave and take a chance, if you're one of those investment types, you can get in some sweet, sweet lines right now.
Pete, I know you live in Chicago. I've been there twice in the last month in between Egg Harbor, bratwurst, German sausages, deep dish pizza.
Nick went to Chris Kindle Market.
Yeah, and it was amazing. I just want to know, how are you not 500 pounds? Because that's what I would weigh if I lived there.
You know what's hilarious about what you say? I live for Egg Harbor. You're on the North Shore up here? Is that where I'm?
I was actually at Naperville's Egg Harbor.
Okay, so it's hilarious you say that because literally what happens is this time of year, usually I'm good, and then Thanksgiving hits, and then 3 months of pretty much sitting on my butt doing nothing but doing college football stuff all day and not exercising and not doing anything. The football season 15 kick card, my physical was yesterday, and I was chastised hard for not eating better during this time of year. So, yes. So, yeah, I am actually 500 pounds at this point. At least I feel that way, even though that's what the off season's for.
I still remember the first time I went to a doctor, and the doctor walks in the room, never looks up from his chart, and he goes, "Nick, I'm not sure how to tell you this, but you have a weight problem." And I, like, he said it to me like we were discovering this news together, and I responded sarcastically, and that was like the last time I ever saw that doctor.
I'm very disappointed in you look on her face as she was reading off my numbers there yesterday. So yes, but no, that changes really fast. But to the other point, but right now it's so crazy because you can't. There's so much going on. I mean, between the coaching changes, between the schedules coming out, between the transfer portal, oh, yeah, there are bowl games. Oh, yeah, Notre Dame and Indiana is coming up, what is it, next Friday, I think it is? Like, you know, all this stuff. And then it stops to a dead, comes to a dead stop. But, like, right now, yeah, it's just too much to do.
And we'll get to some of, like, Ohio State and everything in just a second, Pete. But I do got to ask you about Quinn Ewers. Within the hour, it's being reported that Quinn Ewers, he doesn't want to go to the NFL. He wants to stay in school. I mean, Texas has to go with Arch Manning, though. So Quinn Ewers is just going to transfer out? It's a weird situation. What does that look like?
I think Ewers is better than people think. I mean, he's still a top 15 caliber overall pick. I mean, he's still good. He just can't stay healthy. Unless someone's in his ear saying that the scouts aren't liking him as much as everyone else kind of thinks he is, I think he's about as underappreciated as it gets. But you're right. The hype is just so there for Manning to do more. You know, that's why Sark gets paid all those gajillions of dollars is to figure this out and handle it all. But I can't imagine that Arch Manning just transfers because of this or doesn't win the gig. Or if Quinn Ewers, I mean, obviously, whichever one is not the starter, if either one were to go in the transfer portal, they are number one by 100 miles over anybody else, Ohio State.
The report, Pete, is that Texas is reportedly ready to move on to Arch Manning.
Okay, then Ohio State, welcome back Quinn Ewers. There you go. Then you'll repeat as national champions in 2026 then. So yeah,
you think that highly of Quinn Ewers, huh?
He's good. I mean, I think we can. He's not flashy. He's not a power, you know, not a power pitcher. He's not one of those guys who's going to, you know, hit the, you know, the 50-yard, you know, rocket shots down the field. He's not going to scramble for anything. He's not dynamic. But he's a rock-solid 68%-ish type of passer who just, when you get him into a rhythm, he can conduct things well. His problem is he can't stay in 100% healthy. And even now, he's not 100% healthy. I mean, he's playing hurt on that ankle that he came back from. So if they move on from Arch Manning, let's go. I mean, if you're USC, if you're Ohio State, if you're Michigan, he's one of ones when it comes to the transfer portal if he goes into it.
I can't help but notice you also said they would repeat as national championships. Was that your prediction that Ohio State's winning the Natty?
I told you this. I told you this from January. There was no need to play the season. It's Alabama versus Georgia, even though I actually don't think Georgia's going to win. I'm sorry, Ohio State versus Georgia for the national title. And Ohio State's going to, you know, it's the best team. And I said this after the Michigan loss. I said at the time, and I still get yelled at for this, that in a weird way, lemons into lemonade, it was actually a positive. And why? Carson Beck. Not like Will Howard or C.J. Stroud. Not like, you know, you can't do it. But what's the one thing that could screw up a team like a Georgia, like an Ohio State, like a Texas, like an Oregon? It's to get a massive injury that would mess you up for the playoff. And wow, did Georgia just get it. So I'm not saying that it's a good thing that Ohio State lost to Michigan or anything like that. But because you know it happened. So at the end of the day, there is a positive about that, and it's that you didn't get anyone dinged in that game, and everyone stayed healthy last week. And for Georgia, they lost a massive piece of the puzzle who does not look like he's going to be fine for this thing.
Pete, we'll do more on Tennessee next week when you join us ahead of the game. But I do want your where you think they are right now, because I'm very unimpressed with their quarterback. They got a good defensive line, but what's the look?
Great. I mean, their offense is not flashy. It is not that they have a great running game. Dylan Sampson's a fantastic back. This is not the Tennessee of a couple years ago that was hanging up a gajillion yards and points per game. It is a defensive team that brings a great pass rush here. So it's the problem for Ohio State, and this is the concern, is that that pass rush is going to be in the Ohio State backfield. Can that offensive line hold up? And again, to try to make a positive and spin things in a good way, that's where maybe having that 3 weeks off as opposed to playing last week could help a little bit more, because you might get that offensive line a little bit healthier. You might just get a little, you know, figure out some other wrinkle, something else about this, because they're about to get the heat from that Tennessee front four. But again, this is not a high powered Tennessee offense. It is going to be a low scoring game. So if you're Ohio State, get to 23 points. That might get it done.
Pete Futek, College Football News on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ross Bjork went on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus and sure made it seem like there was nothing Ryan Day could do to lose his job the rest of this year. Is that the NFL vote of confidence, which we usually know is a death knell, or is that a legit vote of confidence?
I mean, you know my thoughts on this. If you can find me that magical coach, by the way, I found him, by the way, who can win 86% of his games over 6 years, come really, really close to winning a national title, and only lose one game to a team that didn't finish with 10 wins in the history of college football, bring him on. I'm the one guy out there, and it's always been my thing, okay, Ohio State fans, you're not happy with this? Well, find me that guy who could come in, handle the pressure, and produce at a high level. I think Lane Kiffin would be awesome. If you want to talk about the guy who's probably the most underappreciated coaching talent, because Ole Miss is not a place you can win at easily. That is, everyone assumes it's really great, but it's not. It is a hard place to win, and he's at least gotten them close, about as close as you can get. He knows the transfer portal. He can certainly handle the media. He can certainly handle the pressure. So if it's not Ryan Day, that would be it. But I would think if you lose to Tennessee, I am not for getting rid of Day. Again, good, you know, it's harder than you think to find these guys who can win like this. But I would at least think, okay, I kind of get it. At some point, it's like, you know, be careful what you wish for. Dog chase the car, all that, catch the car, all that kind of stuff. If they lose to Tennessee, I can see where the fan base would be like, you know what, we just have to beat Michigan already. We have to be a little better than this. But again, good luck.
All right, Pete, you can't see Nick's reaction. Nick smiled really big there, and I need to know if that is a smile because you're endorsing Lane Kiffin or not endorsing Lane Kiffin.
Oh, I love him. I love him. Yeah.
No, I know you do, Pete, but that's a Nick smile where either he really loves what you said or really hated what you said. I need to know.
I really wanted to go, you don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, to Pete Futek. I think Lane's a good head coach, by the way.
Embrace debate.
I just don't want him in Ohio State. I think he would drive me crazy at Ohio State.
Why? I mean, but again, what
he's
do you
a knucklehead.
If, he's actually not. He's actually, you know what? He's great with social media, and he gets
his,
it.
His I mean, dog is great with social media.
Here's the argument is that, okay, again, who else you got? You know, who's if it's not Ryan Day, who is it? And, like, there's only two coaches out there in college football with currently coaching with a national championship. You're not getting Kirby Smart, and you don't want Dabo. So who is it? Like, don't say Kenny Dillingham. Now you're people like that. You're just guessing. You're hoping. Like, oh, maybe, like, yeah, fine. Maybe you beat Michigan, which, again, makes the base happy. But does that get you closer to winning a national championship? Again, it has to keep being said. Ruggles' kick goes straight. Ryan Day's a national championship head coach. Two kicks go straight a couple Saturdays ago. Ohio State went 16-13, and no one's beefing about anything. Like, I know, I get it. You got to win those games. But let's just see how this plays out first. Because, again, this is the most talented team in the country right now, especially with Beck gone at Georgia. They should win the national title. And at the very least, just all you can reasonably ask, just get there. Just get to the national championship game, and that is a strong season. But if they lose to Tennessee, lose to Oregon, then, yeah, I can see a little bit where the base is going to be a little too grouchy and, you know, enough's enough. You know, you get what you want. You know, give the fan base what they need.
Pete, go to Egg Harbor for me. I'm jonesing for it, buddy. We appreciate you.
Have a good one, guys.
Pete Futek there, College Football News on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to the Lane Kiffin thing and the thing that I just don't know Ohio State fans want to hear right now. Next on 92.3 The Fan. I don't know if you are, because I can't remember. Sometimes it's tough for me to remember my takes, let alone everybody's saying. I think Lane Kiffin is an underrated football coach. I think what he's doing at Ole Miss is super impressive. I just wouldn't want him anywhere near Columbus.
Is it because of USC?
No. It's simply because I don't think he wins national championships.
I mean, the only hang-up I would have is what happened at USC, because that was the one really... I mean, he had Tennessee, obviously, but that was what it was. The big job was USC.
Yeah, I just...
And it went fine. I think he had him number one in the country at one point while he was at USC.
Could you see him winning a national championship?
Oh, I could. That's why I liked the name. That's why I thought that was so interesting, is that you know what I loved about it? That's why I love having Pete on, and I've listened to Pete, and I've read Pete for 15 years, is because he always brings things to the table that nobody else has brought to the table. No one's brought Lane Kiffin to the table yet. I don't know why they hadn't. Is it because of the, Ohio State stole Judkins and at the time, rightfully so, you took his best player on the roster, he wasn't happy about it and tweeted about those type of things?
No. No, I think it's because...
Well, I'm pretty sure he put that aside.
We remember Joey Freshwater. We remember him feuding with Nick Saban. And here's the other thing, and here is...
Big dog guy, though, Lane Kiffin. You'd love the dog side of him.
I actually think I'd love to, like, hang out and joke around with Lane Kiffin. Personally, I think I'd have fun with Lane Kiffin. And again, I think he's an underrated head coach. I will say, though, you can't fire Ryan Day for not being an Ohio State guy, for not understanding the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. If that's really at the crux of why people want to move on.
Yeah, you're nailing as to why no one's brought him up, is because Lane Kiffin is the farthest thing from an Ohio State guy. But sometimes it's okay to just hire somebody that is good, knows the role, understands the role, and will learn everything Ohio State, Michigan.
That's just not how they're going to do it in
Columbus. I know it's not how they do it. That's what made the Ryan Day actual hire so, like, okay. You hire... Where's he from? New Hampshire?
Yeah, he is. Well, but what's weird, just this idea that you have to be born in Ohio that you understand the rivalry. No, Ryan Day's just really weird in not understanding the importance of it as a guy who was an assistant for 2 years prior. Like, I don't understand how you don't get Ohio State, Michigan. I really don't. And he doesn't. Like, answer...
It seems like he gets it. I think he almost went too far in getting it.
No, I think that was him forcing it. I think it was him trying to prove that he gets it. It's like, no, you get it by your team getting it.
I'll tell you this. Lane Kiffin could never convince himself that beating Michigan matters more than winning a national title. There's no way he can get there.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, honestly, the biggest problem with firing Ryan Day, and again, after the Michigan, this Michigan loss, that is a fireable offense. Like, you were a 21-point home favorite, and it came down to two missed field goals and your quarterback throwing two interceptions. I can't defend you. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would fire Ryan Day, but I absolutely understand that that is as bad of a loss as you can possibly have, not just in the rivalry, but in the damn game. So I say that to say, the number one reason I don't think I'd fire Ryan Day is there's just nobody that does it for me. There's nobody that I can convince. It is the crux of Pete's argument of Brian Hartline, he could be better, but you don't know that today.
Well, you talk about uncertainty. That is very uncertain.
Well, but Luke Fickell, okay. Well, but Luke Fickell's stock right now is not where you want it to be after two kind of weird, wonky years at Wisconsin.
Right, but if you want to hire somebody that's always been proven and that is a winner in the college level and also then has ties to understand Ohio State, Michigan, you see how the pool shrinks exponentially.
I mean, it's non-existent. There is no Urban Meyer here.
Right. It's always going to be that way for the most part. Well, I mean, you're going to have an Urban every now and then, but it's how many people have the pedigree and everything attached to it that are also from Ohio that they can satisfy everyone's needs.
Well, it's not just that. I mean,
hard to clear.
Look at the pool of college football coaches anyways. It's shrinking. Saban's retired. You're starting to see, Urban obviously moved off and went to the pros, and then has been out of it and says he doesn't want to be back. Like, almost every truly great college football coach of a specific era, they're gone.
Right.
They don't want to be a part of this. And that's, by the way, that's fine. People act like it's the biggest problem in the world. It's not, because there's always going to be the next generation. There's just nobody right now that you look at and go, that's the guy. Whereas when you hired Urban, he was obviously that guy. You know, and you can say, well, Tressel, but more often than not, at a job like Alabama, Ohio State, Miami, USC, there is a guy. And I think, you're even seeing it West Virginia. They went back to Rich Rodriguez. You're seeing it in North Carolina. You're trying something different. Mm-hmm. These are moves that Rich Rodriguez getting a second era at West Virginia wouldn't happen 30 years ago. Belichick to North Carolina wouldn't have happened 15 years ago. I think that tells you the state of prominent college coaches in the fact that we're used to there being two or three kings. There aren't. There's 15 guys in the same realm right now.
I think it's going to stay that way for a long period of time, Nick, with the way the format currently is, because when you have a 12-team format for the playoff, I mean, what dynasties in college football are ever going to exist again?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about.
That's going to be really hard to pull off a dynasty when you have to go through a 12. You think about how hard it is to win in the NFL. Why is it so hard? Because the NFL essentially does this 12-team bracket. It's a 14-team bracket now, but we never had a three-peat winner in NFL history. That's what the Chiefs are going for this year for a reason. The bracketed format makes everything really, really tough. It's the reason why March Madness, it's so hard to have a college basketball dynasty. That one and done is tough to then build any sort of dynasty.
So I think, to what you're saying, where it was Alabama on any given year, and then Clemson had that two or three year stretch where it was Clemson on any given year with Alabama in the backseat. I think you're going to have five or six dynasties at once. The dynasty is now, all right, are you making the Final Four every year? Are you every 3 years are you winning a national championship?
We're moving the goalpost on what exactly that is. And that's what's interesting about this year is.
But isn't that good for college football, just real quick?
Well, it's good for someone like Ryan Day if you don't want to live in a championship or bust mentality.
Well, I think it's good for everybody outside of the blue bloods who are already having it on easy street. Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, you guys were getting in almost every year, regardless, when it was a four-team thing. This does open up the window for an Ole Miss to become a dynasty with under the new terms. It gives a chance of, I'm trying to think, whoever the third ran best team in the SEC, the Big Ten
is. Tennessee right now.
Yeah, like Tennessee. I do think that opens up the window. But again, we're just relaxing the definition of what a dynasty is.
Yeah, I just think the game has changed a lot, and we're not going to have a Saban run anymore. That's not going to ever exist again.
Now, in the midst of the Ohio State conversation and Anthony Lima's feud with 97.1 The Fan in Columbus,
are they feuding?
Oh, you didn't see that? Yeah,
I heard him reference it in the morning, but I didn't see the tweet.
I think we got the awful announcing write up on
really?
It. I can't remember who else got. Yeah, it was a whole
deal.
What
did they say?
Well, Lima sent out a tweet about the Homer radio in Columbus.
Yeah.
Which is Lima. And then I can't remember if it was Rick or Dottie or T-Bone, the afternoon guys in 97.1. They responded. And then there's just been a couple back and forths there.
Do they have a good response or no? I'm so in the dark.
See, here's
on this.
The thing. If I say one thing, I'm starting a feud with my own show, my own station. If I say another, I'm somehow aiding Lima in a feud that I have no interest in being a part of.
Tell us the side you're on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the everyone's being way too sensitive side of things. Is that a fair thing?
Yeah, it's usually the answer.
Like, guys, if Columbus, sorry, not Columbus specifically, if you do radio in a college town, it is more Homer. That's the way it is.
That's how it's going to work.
And by the way, that's not a knock on those guys. They're the kings of freaking Columbus.
Oh, this guy looks like Andrew Whitworth.
Oh, that must be T-Bone. Yeah.
Is that fair? Yeah. Is that
doesn't
a fair
look
comp?
Like a T-Bone? I give him credit. That's awesome. Like
he does. He looks does. Like a T-Bone. That's pretty cool.
I'm not saying in a bad way. That's brand meets reality.
My buddy texted me yesterday. He goes, he's a Rangers fan. He's like, what is a Jake Berger? Mm. And I'm like, Jake Berger plays exactly the way you think a guy named Jake Berger would play. Where he hits a lot of home runs, not much else. But like, if you had him in a softball league, you'd dominate. That's a Jake Berger.
So while we're inching perilously close to getting involved in this feud that I don't really want to be a part of.
No, I don't think so either. I can't beat a guy that looks like Whitworth like this.
No, it's not just that. I mean, I think we'd have to take the T-Bone.
Sorry, Lyman, the tail of the tape. T-Bone
we have to
wins.
Take the T-Bone and Ricordati side of things because we can't trust the Morning Boys.
What does the common man think about this?
I mean, that's Mike Ricordati, yeah. But we couldn't trust the Morning Boys.
Oh, that's
boys.
His real name. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, we couldn't trust the Morning Boys because it's a slippery wizard. Like this is the classic, we help. This happens in wrestling all the time. We would join the side of Ken and Anthony, and then we get sweet chin music by Anthony just to the second that it was good for Anthony and Ken. That's how Lima rolls.
I like how Awful Announcing titled it Columbus's Top Sports Radio Show.
It actually is, yeah.
I believe
Common,
it. No,
Common
I believe
Man
it
and Company
is.
Has been kicking some booty cheeks for a while.
I've heard of it. That means something to me because it's not like I tune into a lot of Columbus sports radio. And so mm-hmm. That's I heard of it. I noticed they didn't say Cleveland's top sports radio show responds, though.
Do we have to start feuds with other radio? Should we start feuding with Jim Costa the Ticket in Detroit?
No, well, you're on with Pony tomorrow. Why don't you get something there going?
Yeah, that whole thing the Morning Boys have kind of ruined it. That I don't buy that. That's a real feud because we know they talk off air.
Yeah, what kind of feud can we get then?
I don't think there's a good one.
I don't think we're ready for
like,
a feud
I like
yet.
I like Rapine too much. I don't want to feud with him,
never,
even though he's been
him.
Completely fraudulent about the
excuse me.
Yeah, about Mike Brown being a new Mike Brown, and then turns out he doesn't want to pay anyone. Like, man, that take aged like milk.
The problem we have is that we're too scorched earth for.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or feuds with other radio stations, I think. Like, we just go way too hard in the paint.
We don't
have a filter yet
when
it comes to this stuff.
So basically, we don't know our own strength. That's been that's why I don't fight. That's why I've never fought.
Yeah, like you punching somebody could legitimately kill somebody.
Yes, exactly.
So you might not want to do that.
Exactly. Like when you can knock somebody out with one punch, which has happened when I fought.
We might go so far that we just don't have a job after this.
Yeah, and I did want to go to jail for punching one guy once. Like three times, four times maybe, but one guy once.
One guy once.
That's not enough. 216-474-0092. Well, we're going to play the Ross Bjork thing. We'll have to get to it later in the show. Lane Kiffin. For Ryan Day, does it do a damn thing for you? And when we come back, I did not realize until now that I'm surrounded by a bunch of Grinches. And that reared its head on this station. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Everybody at the holiday party today is, they put it again in the middle of our show. So I'm not mad about it. But
I'm definitely not mad about it.
So here's the thing.
I really don't want to go to it. I like that they have them, but it's not for me.
I love holiday parties. So what they've really done is, because most of the other hosts too big time to go to the holiday party.
Oh, no, that's not why I'm doing it. That wasn't expressed that way.
No. My point was, I'm the guy that goes to those things. So you kind of cost yourself that extra, I could boost the thing. I'm really good at those things. I'm not mad about it. I honestly am not mad about it. I'm more bringing it up so I can talk about how many Grinches we have here. Because what I heard on the morning show today was just embarrassing.
Hold on. We have to express why I don't want to go to it, though. Now, it's big, and that's not the case at all. I don't like going to it, Nick, because I don't like doing things outside of work hours that I don't have to do. So, this is like an out for me. That's the point. It's an out for me. I like to do things with, be home, et cetera.
So now that we've established that, can I jam you up about something else?
Yeah, this is free to jam me up. Yeah, that was...
So basically, on FML this morning, Ken expressed a hatred, not just of getting gifts, which I do understand, but giving gifts and, saying that although he does it, it's just not for him. And they kind of chided Mitch, who's a young single man, for giving gifts to other people. And then when we got in the pre-show, you and Keith both were like, yeah, I hate doing that. And I didn't realize I work with so many miserable people.
I said it's the closest I think I've ever felt to Ken. Right? Yeah. I've never agreed with Ken more on one thing than that. I like giving gifts. I've noticed last year I enjoyed giving Charlotte gifts. I think that's the only person I enjoy giving gifts to. My wife too, I guess, in theory. But even that is... coming up with the gift, thinking about something that's creative with the gift, and then going through it all. I have removed as many people as I possibly can in the gift giving process.
Sounds really sad.
My siblings, we don't give gifts to each other. We have like one big, we have an Elfster. You can just kind of do, it's one big, all
eight of us. Is it like a white
us.
Elephant?
It basically.
Everybody puts in a gift and then you can just kind of pick which one you want?
Not put in a gift. Everyone puts in a name gets drawn and then you buy it for that person and they put together a wish list, but you can't spend over
like
an X amount of
Santa.
Money. Thank you. Okay. I couldn't come up with the term. Thank
no
you.
Worries.
Secret Santa. Yeah, we do a Secret Santa so we don't buy it for all of us. Every part of the gift giving process to me is, that's not something I get along with.
I love every second of it. The only thing stopping me from buying more gifts for people is having to pay my bills. I love it. I basically am one of them. Like, have you ever seen the Jim Carrey Grinch where everybody's like running around at the very beginning and they're all buying stuff and they're all, yeah, that's me. I love it. I love every second of it.
I'm glad you do.
And here's the thing. I do struggle with getting gifts, and it's more, I just don't think that way. Like, if I see something I want, I just go and buy it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a flex. It's not. What I mean is, I don't think like, hey, what do I want for gifts? So I can be tough to buy gifts for. I also am wildly uncomfortable getting things. And so I sometimes have a problem feeling like I deserve things. So that's another way that I've tried to realize that those are things I have to work on. And I just need to accept that somebody wanting to buy you a gift is a very sweet thing. And just so, but I love giving gifts. I don't understand how you couldn't love to give them. Is it just because you've said it's the strategy behind it? No, I love that. I love seeing something and thinking of somebody in my family that I love, and they're going
to
love this.
So I do think I put a lot of pressure on myself to try to make sure it is something unique and something different. Like, I got my little brother as the Secret Santa for this year, and so I went online because he's a golfer as well. He likes to golf too, and so I got him a golf head cover of we had this stupid little thing in our childhood bedroom that we shared together. Mm-hmm. And so I got that photo on a golf head cover, and I know he's going to really like it. So I feel good about this year because I know he's going to like it. But if it's not like up to that like level of thoughtfulness and care, then I end up just getting mad at myself, and I'm like, you didn't do a good enough job. And I think maybe that's where some of the stress comes in. And then I turn around and I've thought for days on it, I've thought for weeks on it, and if I don't get to the level I wanted to get to, then I just get upset with the whole process, because I'll never be just give a gift card guy.
Oh my gosh, yeah, even if it's a gift card. Like, my daughter right now is super into just cash in general, because she has a book addiction that is insane. Like, this kid reads a book a day.
Mm-hmm.
And like she doesn't want to go to the library because she didn't get to keep the books. Like, that's her book addiction.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the things that she might get this year is like a $100 gift card to Barnes & Noble, because she's just addicted to books. And I will happily give that. I get the same thing out of that, because then I get to go see her spend it. That's another. But I, yeah, my nieces and nephews for a while have been getting, the older ones have been getting, you know, this gift card, that gift card. Oh, any kind of gift.
No, my sister once, I tried giving her a gift card when I was like 15 years old, and she basically yelled at me. There's no other kind way to put this. She's like, a gift card is the most impersonal gift you can give. And so from that point forward, I just can't do the cop out. In my opinion now, that's what it's become, because she yelled at me so aggressively over it.
See, I think the opinions on gift cards have changed, though. Because I think that was, like, it used to be frowned upon.
She was insulted.
I think now, whether it's in, you know, an online store like an Amazon, whether it's, or if it's just one of those, basically it's like cash, but it's on a card, I feel like the game has changed. Now, I could never do that with Vanessa. If I got Vanessa a gift card, I'd probably be in trouble. But I guarantee you, if I went to any one of my siblings or any one of my kids and there was a gift card, they would be over the moon.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that we've gotten older too, you know? Like, I'm 35, and so I look at, like, anybody that isn't a child, you know? I'll buy children all sorts of gifts. I'll buy my niece, my nephew. We can do that. But anybody that isn't a child, I just look at it like, you have your own money. Buy your own things.
Oh, no. I'm totally opposite. I can't even wrap my head around not wanting to give someone a gift. Because it's just another way of showing somebody, like, you mean something to me. Like, when we went to Friendsgiving, we got, like, Vanessa had this really thoughtful, like, put together, like, a Coco gift set for each one of our cabin boys' families.
That's nice.
And, like, my buddy Dan, in response, got me, like, the 365 calendars where you tear a page off.
Yeah.
And, like, a thing of...
It's like a joke a day?
Yeah, but of, like, Blackhawks trivia, because we're both Chicago fans. And they got me, like, a big thing of, like, the caramel and the cheesy popcorn, that kind of mixed thing.
Yeah, some Garrett's.
And I was, like, legitimately, touched.
Was it Garrett's?
I think it was.
That's the famous one. Okay,
but
yeah.
It was like legitimate. It was a very sweet thing.
I do love that popcorn, by the way. That's a great Christmas gift for the holidays.
So just to go around the room, Jake, I almost said, sorry, Jake Murren, do you like giving gifts? Do you like receiving gifts?
Of course I do. I'm not one of these Grinches at this radio station, Nick. And this year, I'm also doing like the Secret Santa, and it's eating me up inside because I can only buy gifts for one person because that's how we set it up. And it's
which
like
is smart, by the way, because you guys are adults now. You don't need to buy everyone presents.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not about need. It's about want.
Right. And we are saving money by doing this whole thing. But like, I would always love buying my brother a gift growing up. It's what I always look forward to. And this year I'm not going to, and it's eating me up. But no, I love giving and receiving gifts during Christmas.
Jax, do you like giving and receiving gifts?
I also recently started loving giving gifts because nobody expects me to get them good gifts. But then I've upped the game recently the past couple of years, and now it makes me feel very happy when I see someone like the gift I get.
So some of it for me, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, I just love the Christmas season. And when I say Christmas, I mean the holiday season. From like Thanksgiving until the end of the year, it's a moment where we do see each other more than we do the rest of the year, and we make time for each other. And so, like, I see my mom's side of the family, who I just don't see enough because we're all just so busy with our own lives. And so, like, any opportunity to increase cheer just feels good because it's so cold. It's so relentless. Ohio winters suck. It's the end of the year, so everyone's tired, you're exhausted, it's football season. Like, just any opportunity to spread, like, 1% cheer. Like, honestly, if you could, like, nominate somebody to be, like the real Santa, I'd want to be the real Santa. Like, that was, like an election thing, like,
without,
every 4 years.
Paying for it, like, the government pays for it, and you go around and hand out the gifts.
Not like the North Pole. Obviously, there is a Santa, but if that was a rotating position instead of just one dude for, 2,000 years, I would like to be that guy. That'd be fun. I would have a lot of jollies off that.
Would you ever be a mall Santa?
No. No.
Well, what's the difference between your real Santa and mall Santa
because
scenario?
Because it's like a nurse versus a doctor. They do all the B work, and then they get, like, kids throw up on them. They do other stuff on them. Kids throw tantrums. Parents are the worst part of that, by the way, not the kids.
You just want to eat the cookies and milk and get all the credit.
No, I want to give the gifts. The mall Santa's not giving the gifts. He's doing the B work.
Elves make all the gifts. Santa does nothing. He's just the conduit.
Santa does nothing?
He drives around in the sleigh. But
the man,
like, that's,
the man made the North Pole. Okay,
the
man made the North
making,
Pole.
The elves are the making the presents.
Okay, but who hired the elves?
Elves don't get enough credit in this scenario.
Who's responsible for the entirety
why
of the Christmas economy?
And these reindeer, too. My goodness.
Do
we talk about Secretariat, or we talk about the jockey? We talk about Secretariat, do we not? Why does Blitzer get very little credit in the whole equation?
I think it's Blitzen.
Exactly the point. Yeah. Exactly the point.
You're out here disrespecting. You can't get their names right. And all of a sudden, you're big reindeer over there.
I know their name if they got the right amount of credit in this whole equation.
216-474-0092. Are Ken and JP the biggest Grinches you've ever heard of?
We don't like that presentation
of the
tease.
The 5 at 5, next on 92.3 The Fan.